Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Advocate for truth and for justice, none other than former National Security Advisor and former Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs, Ms. Susan Rice, is with me. Ms. Rice, how are you?
I'm great, Rashad. It's wonderful to be with you.
I am glad to have you on the show. I appreciate all that you continue to do, have done for this country, continue to do for this country. And you got a new book out called Tough Love, My Story of the Things Worth Fighting For. And I got a great opportunity yesterday to crack that book open and actually start reading a good bit of it. Why did you write the book?
Well, Rashad, you know, I have a background like many of us. I've the descendant of slaves on the one side, the daughter of immigrants from Jamaica on the other, mm-hmm. and yet I've had the extraordinary opportunity to serve our country under two presidents, represent us to the world, and keep us safe here at home. And over the course of this, I've, you know, learned some valuable lessons that I want to share from my family, from my upbringing, from my service. And I think they're relevant, frankly, to anybody who wants to compete and thrive in unforgiving environments, and if they've been knocked down, to get back up. So that's why I wrote it. I wrote it now because I wanted to do it shortly after my time in government and after I was, you know, for a period of 8 years, really unable to speak in my own voice as mm-hmm. I'd been responsible for speaking for the country and the president. So I'm glad to have the chance to do it now.
Why the title Tough Love? What is tough love in your estimation?
Well, tough love is loving fiercely, but not uncritically. That's how I was raised. That's how I've tried to raise my kids, and frankly, that's how I've tried to serve the country. It means that, you know, you love, but you are, you know, you give the hard messages and tell the home truths that need to be told when people are falling short, whether it's, you know, you as a kid and your parents are trying to lift you up and straighten you out, or whether you're, you know, in there trying to do the best for the United States of America, but not unwitting of the fact that on occasion we can do better and we have made mistakes. So that's what I mean by tough love. And it really defines my upbringing, and it defines my philosophy of how to serve and how to lead.
You've worked for two, I would say, great U.S. presidents. Did you ever have to show them tough love in your leadership?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And vice versa. And that's, you know... You know, that's the great benefit of particularly serving as I did under President Obama at the highest levels. You know, I was very willing to tell him when everything from his tie wasn't green on St. Patrick's Day to I thought he was wrong on a particular issue and give my best advice. And then he would give it to me. You know, he always told me that, you know, one of my biggest challenges is to maintain a poker face when I'm sitting in a meeting or, you know, speaking or representing, because sometimes my face says way too much about what I'm thinking. So we gave it to each other, and that's what made for a very productive working relationship as well as friendship.
The other part of your title says, My Story of Things Worth Fighting For. What do you think are things worth fighting for?
Well, Rashad, I think first and foremost, education, equality, and expanded opportunity. Those are the values that I was raised with. Service as well. And then I write in the last part of the book about where we are as a country and the risks and the challenges we face given our domestic divisions. And I think we're also now in a fight for our democracy, our national unity, and our global leadership position.
You're in the book. You talk about your family.
A lot.
Your family,
yes.
A lot, right? Your family history is included in this. And you talk about your father was the descendant of slaves in South Carolina. How does this legacy, or what does this legacy mean for you personally?
It means everything. I mean, you know, we are a product of our experiences and of our family. My father was born in the heart of segregated South Carolina around 1920, and he grew up in a situation where he was constantly told that he couldn't, that he was less. And he served during World War II at Tuskegee with the famed Tuskegee Airmen. And those experiences serving in a segregated military where you're asked to, you know, fight on behalf of freedom but for everybody but our own people, or, you know, what my dad would try to go get something to eat off a base in restaurants where he wouldn't be served, but he'd see German POWs being served. Mm. Those experiences really shaped him, and it made him, you know, it made him motivated, angry, and determined, really, to prove America wrong about race. He would not accept the notion that he was less. He would not accept the notion that somebody would, you know, want to keep him down or back because his color, the color of his skin, was darker. And so he rose from all of that and, you know, became a PhD in economics, a professor at Cornell, a servant at the Treasury Department and the World Bank, a public servant. And then he went on at the top of his career to become a governor of the Federal Reserve. And what he taught me and my brother was that, you know, we had to believe in ourselves and we couldn't take crap off of anybody. And if our being black was going to be a problem, it wasn't going to be a problem for us. It was going to be a problem for somebody else. In other words, you know, don't let other people's prejudice, which is obviously a function of their own insecurity, to the greatest extent you can do this, not get in your head and cause you to think less of yourself. That's what he tried to teach us. And it was a, you know, it's obviously really hard to do when we all face, you know, many obstacles that are not beatable purely through psychology,
right.
But having that mentality of confidence and of determination was a great gift he gave us.
Susan, you are strikingly honest in this book. And let me highlight two parts. One, you talk about the politics of your children and how they can differ from yours, especially your son. Your son, we know, is a prominent conservative leader at Stanford University.
Right.
Unpack that for us.
Well, you know what, Rashad, I was raised to be thoughtful, to be independent of mine, to be willing to argue with the courage of my convictions, and that's how we tried to raise our kids. And, you know, for better or for worse, that's what happened. You know, I'm proud of both of my kids because, you know, they're good human beings. They're smart. They're hardworking and responsible. And we differ. You know, my daughter is very, very progressive. My son is quite conservative. That can make for some funky dinner table conversations and, you know, and some, you know, complicated Thanksgivings. But we love each other. We're a family. We're committed to that above any political or policy differences. And that's, you know, it's hard. It's not easy. There are moments when, you know, we're trying each other for sure. But we've made this determination that what we have in common is far greater than what we differ on. And frankly,
yeah.
I think that's a metaphor for how the country as a whole has to come together and recognize that we have a choice as a country. We can either divide ourselves internally and, you know, weaken and break up, if not actually, then practically. Or we can get our act together as we have in the past when we face divisions and try to heal.
Susan, I've followed you for many years, and I was one of those guys. I would be glued to TV, national television, every single Sunday morning because we get our political wrap-up on Sunday mornings. Now I do national television on MSNBC every Sunday morning. But I remember two points in your leadership that I cringed at. And you actually talk about both of them in this book. And I was amazed when I came across it. I think I've even said it on the show a couple of times. It was when you went on TV after the attack against the U.S. facility in Benghazi and Libya. And I thought that was maybe not the best decision. And you write in your book that your mama told you not to go on the Sunday news following those attacks. And today you wish you would have listened to her.
Absolutely. That's one of the big lessons. Listen to your mama.
Yeah.
And I try to tell that to my kids every day. She had an intuition. She had an intuition that, you know, in the height of a political campaign, in the hothouse of, destructive politics, mm-hmm. that whoever was the messenger in a moment of crisis, in a politicized moment, when the information would inevitably change to some extent, which it did, you know, that person would become a target.
Right.
And I was, you know, I heard her, and I respect her knowledge and experience, but I wasn't thinking of myself as I write the book. I was thinking about the fact that I was on a team, that we were facing a tragedy, nothing, you know, worse than the loss of your own colleagues and compatriots. And, you know, rather than put myself above the mission and the need to, you know, convey what was necessary to the American people, I played the role of a team player. And what my mother was trying to say is sometimes, you know, generally that's the right instinct, but sometimes you got to think about yourself.
Yeah. I got to tell you, Susan, this book is insightful. It is wise, but it is also human and full of great lessons and insight for all of us to benefit from. We thank you for writing Tough Love, My Story of the Things Worth Fighting For. And I'm sure you can get that everywhere right now.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you, Susan.
Wonderful to talk to you.
Same here. We'll talk later.
Okay. Take care. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Susan Rice, former National Security Advisor to President Barack Obama, and also served as Assistant Secretary of State under Clinton. 404-892-2703. You're getting real with the Realest Man on Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.